Well, God truly has a sense of humor. Given my feelings about the IRS, he has me teaching about a tax collector. And not only a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. I mean, come on, really, God? I guess he wants me to get my hands dirty. Before we go down that road, as I was preparing for this morning's sermon, I looked out of my office onto a green space, and I saw a T-ball game. How many here have been to or coached a T-ball game? Great, so you'll know what I'm talking about. I must confess I've not been to many T-ball games as an adult, but the ones that I have seen consist of 5- and 6-year-old kids, big helmets on proportional bats, and a tee. When the batter comes up to the tee, the coach puts the ball on top of the tee, and the players swing at it. Now, the ball is about 20 inches away from the batter, but most miss the ball and sometimes hit the tee on account of the big helmets and proportional bats. When they miss, the coach encourages the player and puts the ball back on the tee. During the game I saw recently, I was expecting the batter to get 3 swings at the ball, but to my amazement, this was not the case. Unlike baseball, when the batter gets 3 strikes at the ball, strikes out, and goes back to the dugout, this is not the case in the T-ball game that I saw. Rather, the coach continued to put the ball back on the tee and encouraged the batter until they got a hit. When I saw this, I thought to myself, what kind of game is this? Everyone gets a hit. Everyone gets a trophy. Where's the competition in that? When I think about my reaction to that T-ball game, I think about the way that many of us feel about our Heavenly Father. That is, when we think about God, many of us feel that His perspective is not dissimilar to my reaction to that T-ball game. Some of us feel that when we look at our lives, we have been hitting the balls into the dust, striking out and blowing our chances with God. And since we have struck out, made mistakes, and blew our chances, we feel that God, like a disappointed coach, is going to call us into the dugout, bench us, and maybe call us back into the game. Maybe. If that is your perspective of God, then it is my hope that this morning's scripture will change that perspective. Because unlike a disappointed coach benching one of his players, God is like that encouraging coach who continues to put the ball back on the tee and gives chance after chance until the player gets a hit. Rather than benching us, our Heavenly Father encourages us and gives us chance after chance. In the same way, Jesus comes to all of humanity and says, I will not give up on you. You have not blown your chances with me. And if you are ever going to know me, you should do so through understanding, embracing, and accepting that this is the type of God that I am. As we dig into the story of Zacchaeus, we are going to see that we have not blown our chances or struck out with Jesus. Those of us that grew up in Sunday school or went to vacation Bible school know who Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus was? Yes, a wee little man like he. And he climbed up, eh? Let's go. I love it. I love it. Well, Zacchaeus was not just a wee little man. In actuality, he was one of the most notorious tax collectors in the Bible. In this morning's scripture, Jesus is in Jericho, on his way to Jerusalem, and is approaching the last week of his life. And he chooses to associate with what would have been considered a vile, hated, and unclean tax collector. Now, when we think of tax collectors, we think of the IRS. And while some of our feelings about the IRS may not be so dissimilar as they were in Jesus' day, we do not have the same basis and hatred for tax collectors. This hatred came from the fact that Rome would go into a place, conquer it, sell licenses to the highest bidder of the conquered people to collect taxes, and use those same funds to occupy those same people. These licenses were lucrative because they enabled the holder to collect taxes for whatever they wanted and whenever they wanted. And since Rome only expected a percentage of what was collected, they allowed people to become very rich as long as they were willing to betray and sell out their people. And those that were willing to betray and sell out their people were like the heads of a cartel in Mexico or mob bosses in Italy. Zacchaeus was one of those that sold out his people, but he was also a chief tax collector. That is, he was over all of the other tax collectors, and the money flowed through him to Rome. As such, he was not only hated, but despised by the Jews in Jericho and throughout Israel. Moreover, he was regarded as having no faith, having no morals, and was feared because he could show up and take whatever he wanted. And this is the man that Jesus sought and that sought out Jesus. By the time Jesus was traveling through Jericho, he developed a reputation for healing people, giving them hope, and performing miracles. So as he traveled through Jericho, a crowd, almost a parade, followed him. And Zacchaeus, being a man short in stature, could not see him. The words short in stature here are used to describe Zacchaeus' disposition as under 5 feet. So he would have been approximately the same size as USA gymnast Simone Biles or actor Danny DeVito. Given his disposition, he ran ahead so that he could see Jesus and climbed up a sycamore tree. All of a sudden, Jesus stops, looks up, and says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Whoa. If I would have been in Zacchaeus' position, Jesus knowing my name, calling down to me and wanting to stay at my house, I probably would have fallen out of the tree. Yet Zacchaeus hurried down the tree and welcomed him. Notice what the crowd did. Given their hatred and feelings of Zacchaeus, they grumbled and started to question and doubt Jesus. Now you may be thinking, man, I love Jesus, because he's always coming to the aid of the sick, the poor, and the marginalized. Yet Zacchaeus was not marginalized. Rather, he was a man that made a choice to sell out his people, get rich, and in effect, finance a conquering and occupying force of his people. He is not the guy whose life is being hurt and destroyed by the system. He is the guy behind and running the system. So how many of us would have been in the grumbling and questioning crowd? Be honest. Whether we're in the grumbling crowd or not, there are no exceptions to Christ's acceptance. Regardless of Zacchaeus' actions, Jesus accepted him for who he was. And regardless of our actions, what we have done, and the mistakes we have made, he accepts us for who we are. There's no person here today or in the world that is outside the boundaries of Christ's acceptance and love. Jesus makes this statement to Zacchaeus and to the crowd when he goes and stays at his house. And Jesus thereby makes a broader statement that he will spend time with tax collectors, prostitutes, thugs, and anyone else who society considers unclean, because there is no one who can outrun His love or is outside the boundaries of His acceptance. Like some in the crowd, there may be people who do not accept Christ's acceptance or try to put themselves outside of the boundaries of His love. But this is not from God. And like the crowd, we may object and think that God's opinion and love for us is based on what we have done. Yet God's love and opinion of us is not based on what we have done. The story of Zacchaeus shows us that whatever we have done does not matter when we accept Christ, follow, and welcome Him into our homes and hearts. When I look at my own life, I see this. Some of you may know my story, but 7 years ago, I was just like Zacchaeus. I made a living at making deals, and more times than I cared to admit, cheating people. I was successful by the world's standards, yet I was rejected by friends and family. One day, the music stopped. My businesses were shut down. My bank account and assets were frozen. I was sued for a crippling amount. I was audited more times than I care to remember by the IRS. And I was in trouble with the SEC. And in fact, I struck out and I hit rock bottom. And one day, Jesus, through friends and several in this sanctuary, came walking by, called me by name, and pulled me out of the pit of depression, despair, and loneliness that I was in. And rather than listening to the wrong voices in the crowd, rather than trying to set myself outside of Christ's love and rejecting Him, I accepted God's grace and Christ as Lord, and my life has never been the same. Zacchaeus' life was not the same after Jesus came calling. Zacchaeus did not buy the lie that his behavior put him outside of the boundaries of God's love and acceptance. Zacchaeus did not reject Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus did not try to work his way into heaven, and nor should we. Rather, we, like Zacchaeus, should accept Christ's love and grace. We should step outside of the boundaries of the condemnation of the world and the judgment of the crowd into salvation, knowing that God is the God of second and third and fifth and tenth chances. For no matter what we have done, Christ is still standing there with open arms. Christ's open arms in Zacchaeus' story teaches us that there is no exception to God's acceptance. It also teaches us something else. As Zacchaeus and Jesus are in Zacchaeus' home, something changes. At some point between verse 7 and 8 of today's scripture, Zacchaeus' life changes and he undergoes conviction, conversion, and repentance. In doing so, Zacchaeus says, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of any amount, I will repay four times as much." Zacchaeus, knowing what is set forward in Exodus and Leviticus, commits to making things right. He commits to not only giving away half of his possessions to the poor, but to making restitution for what he had done. And this restitution was not 20%. It was not double, not even three times the amount. It was four times the amount that he had defrauded and cheated from people. How do you think the crowd reacted to Zacchaeus' commitment? When people saw Zacchaeus in the street or at the market, giving away his possessions and making things right, do you think that they grumbled and questioned? Or do you think that they lined up in order to help him make things right? Jesus had this effect on me. When I accepted Christ, I also went through a period of repentance. When the investigations and lawsuits were over, I sought to right the wrongs that I had done. And like Zacchaeus, this was not out of obligation, but out of response to Christ's love and grace. You see, grace changes everything. It gives us freedom from the judgment of sin. It causes transformation within each of us. And it shows us that there is no mess that God cannot use for ministry. God takes our messes and makes ministries out of them for the transformation of the world. And if there is anyone in the Gospels who made a mess of their lives, it was Zacchaeus. He made mistake after mistake. He tried to set himself outside of God's love, and he broke God's law. All of a sudden, when he encountered Jesus, his mess became his ministry. He gave away his possessions to the poor and changed their lives in the process. In doing so, he reflected the transformation of Christ's acceptance to the world. How many ministries of First Methodist are made up of people who blew it in life? How many ministries of First Methodists are made up of ministries of people that have made messes of their lives? And how is God using these people to reach the world? How is God's love reaching the marginalized, poor, and sick through these people? How is God reaching you through these people? How are you reaching people through God's responses to your strikeouts, mistakes, experiences, and messes? How is God using your experiences to transform the world and work miracles within your life? Whatever your story is, whatever your experiences are, there is nothing good, bad, or ugly that God cannot use as a platform for ministry, a point of transformation, and a basis for hope and miracles. Zacchaeus' life changed. He was given hope. And I am convinced he experienced miracles. Through Christ, each of us has been given hope, and each of us experience miracles. As some may know, over the past 4 years, Allison and I have had a hard time having a child. For those that have or are experiencing this, it is something that will cause you to grumble, question, and doubt. It is something that will rob you of hope and can cause you to reconsider your relationship with God. Yet just as Zacchaeus had a choice to trust Christ, Allison and I had a choice to do so as well. So after 1,468 days of praying and trusting Christ, we are expecting our first child in the fall. Someday I will coach T-ball. And we are experiencing the type of miracles and transformation that Christ offered to Zacchaeus and that he offers to each of us. Through Christ, God used Zacchaeus' experiences to transform his life. He is transforming our lives, and he is using your experience to work miracles within your lives. So no matter your experiences, God wants to take them and use them to minister to the world. This is the foundation of Jesus' statement. Today salvation has come to this house, for he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house, not through his work, but his encounter with Jesus. He did not need to try harder. He did not need a second or third or fifth chance. He needed a Savior. And when he encountered that Savior, everything changed because salvation came to his house. Now, some of you may be thinking, wait a minute, Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house. Yes, he did. And salvation has a name, Jesus Christ. Just as the case with Zacchaeus' salvation, our salvation shows up through Jesus. We encounter him. He calls us by name out of a tree, a pit, or our everyday lives. And he says, I'm coming to your house. So, we have a choice to accept his invitation and the righteousness he brings. And on that day, when we encounter and accept him, everything changes because salvation has come to our house. So do you trust him or not? Do you trust him enough to believe in him? Do you trust him enough to put the ball back on the tee? Do you trust him enough to use your experiences and stories to reach the world? Do we trust him enough to change our perspective, give us hope, and work miracles within our lives? Do we trust him enough to accept the love and grace that he offers? Friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father God, as we hear about Zacchaeus, we are reminded of our own shortcomings and mistakes. Some of us may feel that we have blown our chances with you, yet we know that not to be the case, Father. We know that you are a God of infinite chances, encouragement, acceptance, love, and grace. So, Father, please help us to live into your love and grace. Please help us, like Zacchaeus, to seek you out and accept you into our homes and hearts. In doing so, Father, please turn our messes, mistakes, experiences, and stories into ministries. Please give us hope. Please change our perspective. Please help us to recognize the miracles that you bring into our lives. Please teach us to take risks and to be bold as we serve you and your kingdom. And please guide us to trust and believe in you so that your life-changing miracles, hope, salvation, love, and acceptance will shine more brightly to the world through each of us. In your accepting and grace-filled name we pray, as we join the hands with those seated around us and pray the words that our Lord and Savior taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.